All right, in 5, 4, actually hold on. Let's just I'm gonna message Tyler in Discord and say, we are starting the podcast. If you get back in time, jump in and we'll just keep going with you there. All right, in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Hello! And welcome to another episode of the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast. I am Triforce Todd, fully fed Triforce Todd, might I add. And joining me today is Wario Will.
I hope everyone here had a great Thanksgiving, and I'm currently now sitting at 29 years old, just turned 29 this past Tuesday, and I just can't help but wonder if one of my wishes got what became true because someone is of some omission. I don't know, maybe he's still being sad about that whole Splatoon 2 thing. Again, money can't buy love, Tyler.
Yes, and also here is Tellius Tyler. Oh, wait a minute. No, he's not. Yes, as our title of the episode suggests, we are missing Tyler today, and so it's just going to be a two-man show, which is interesting because we were going to talk a lot about Tyler's review of Pokemon Sword and Shield, but obviously we won't be able to do that now. We could still talk about Pokemon, but we'll leave Tyler's thoughts on it to whenever he wants to show up or decides to show up or if he shows up. If he shows up!
I wonder if Todd is going to try to make an excuse of being fashionably late as always.
Yeah. Well, just so you know, people, we always try and start within 10 minutes of a certain time period, and it's been like 50 minutes since that time period. We've been very patient, and Tyler's not here, so we're starting without him. So, we got some fun stuff to talk about, including a bunch of stuff on Pokemon Sword and Shield. So, let's get started off with what have you been playing? And, obviously, Pokemon Sword and Shield.
That's something of a surprise.
I mean, that really shouldn't be a surprise. I mean, if it is, I mean, what have you been doing for the last 2 weeks? Yeah, Will, what have you been doing for the last 2 weeks? Huh?
Aside from actually touching a little bit of Pokemon Shield and just basically training Pokemon, actually, as I did post it on my Twitter, I did just finally got my shirt, got my jersey with 596 because it speaks to me, and I'm just basically going my way through to the first gym as slowly as I can. So forgive me as I'm just trekking along. Yes. And then I also just recently gotten my Pokeball Plus from the Black Friday sale, which is only $20. So I just want to need to hook it up, get Mew, and then yeah, just finally continue my journey. So that's about that. So, but overall, like if you put in your birthday, they actually would say happy birthday to you, which Death Stranding, like Hideo Kojima, I love how they always like make things a bit more personal, like just putting your birthday and then just say happy birthday boy. It's like it's pretty nice. And I just wonder if the Game Freak would ever do something like that, because like didn't they incorporate something like a Pokeball birthday feature of some sort in prior games? Correct me if I'm wrong.
I don't remember actually.
So yeah. Overall, I'm just continuing on with the Stranding and just building. I'm currently right now, I believe, in episode 5 right now. I'm currently in the Snowy Mountains. So I'm doing that. And of course, I've naturally been playing Fae, which, again, with the recent. Well, actually, no. The banner hasn't started yet. And I know
No,
it's going
that
to be
starts
starting soon,
tonight.
which we talk about later more. We're going to.
Yeah,
Oh,
we
that's
will.
tonight.
Yeah, it starts at the 5th at
So,
11
yeah. Oh.
PT, which is, 1 two
1
p.m.
p.m.
your
EST,
time
yeah.
and 1 my time.
Right,
So.
so, and that thing seems to be interesting enough. I mean, that whole tone shift, which, again, we'll be talking about later on, so,
Yeah.
but overall, over my side, again, I'm just, like, trying to play some games as best I can to get through the work week, because, honestly, it has been kicking my butt.
As for me, I have been playing Pokemon Sword and Shield. I have beaten Pokemon Sword and Shield at the time of this recording. Definitively, epically, not technically, I've beaten it. Yeah, I'm getting that in before Tyler says anything. In fact, I beat it before Tyler, and so needless to say, I was picking on him about his review. So, my personal review, Tyler, if you haven't seen, gave it a 3.5 out of 5. I thought that was fair. I personally would have given it a 4, but I can see why he gives it 3.5 in certain spots. There was a lot to love. They definitely did an atypical form of a story, and that worked in its favor a lot. Like, it felt like it definitely didn't just retread the same things. Like, Team Yell isn't the bad guys. The real bad guys have this really weird plot, but whatever. And then how it gets resolved is unique. And then there's the after story. I don't want to spoil too much because somebody here isn't even to the first gym and everything. So, but there is post-game content. There's actually a lot of post-game content. There's more post-game content, at least I can't say there's more post-game content than any other game because X and Y had a lot, then the Ultra Beasts had a lot. So, there's a lot to look forward to, but the way the game was presented was fun. I love the wild area. I actually wish there were more wild areas because one of the later ones kind of feels like a rehash, but that's just my opinion. And then I love the Pokemon. I've got a lot of new favorites now because of this, including Cinderace, obviously, and a Zacian, the sword one. He's a boss. I love how I know you're doing Shield, and the Shield one's pretty cool too. But Zacian is really, really fun, especially with his special sword attacks. It looks so boss and everything. So the gym battles were really special. I like how they're very much in a stadium. Everyone's cheering you on. It's a very unique feeling, and yet if you know. Like this play, Galar is based on England, and of course, the biggest sport in England is tennis. So I'm kidding, kidding. It's soccer or football, as you call it over in Europe, football. So, but yeah, like having that kind of a soccer football feel is really, really cool. And there's a lot to love in the game. There's a lot to not like about the game. There are, I feel, at times, a few broken elements. The graphics on the handheld when they're not in like cutscene or battle mode are really pixelated. And I just don't know why. Parts of the plot really didn't make sense, and how they handled certain things with certain Pokemon. And again, do I need to see 10 Vanillites in one grassy area? I don't think so. It's one of the worst Pokemon ever created, and like that's one of the first Pokemon I see is Vanillites everywhere. And just like. Capture them, kill them, or trade them away to get better Pokemon. That's my motto. So, but I loved it. This was definitely the Pokemon experience. It's not the Pokemon experience we deserve, but it's the one we need right now because we were really wondering how this would look on console. And as we'll note in our main event, they can use this as a great base plate for the next evolution of the series, pun intended. So.
True that, true that.
So,
Yes.
4 out of 5 for me. And then if Tyler comes back or if he's here next week, we could have him talk about what's his, go how we'll have him go more in depth with his picks or his decision to go 3.5 and everything. So,
Definitely.
and then obviously been playing Heroes. I have been stockpiling orbs like crazy, and good for me because obviously the next banner starts tonight, which is great. So I was really surprised. I was like, oh, a new banner. It felt like we had just gotten Altina, that was it. We had just gotten the mythic banner, and I got
Yes,
Altina,
yes, yes,
which was
yes, yes,
awesome. Another character that was brought to life just for Heroes, because we don't see her in the game.
yes.
We hear about her. I think we had like one piece of art about her. It was like the big splash illustration where they're talking about the fight against Yune, but like that's it. That's all we see of Altina, and all we know is that she's Sanaki's ancestor. So it's cool to see her brought to life, and I haven't got a chance to level with her, but I've played with her because of the voting gauntlet, which Ike won, obviously. Obviously. So yeah, that's that was fun, but I'm stockpiling orbs. I'm at like 230 right now, give or take. Yeah. So yeah, I will be getting one of those new characters. I don't care who it is.
Oh,
So.
lucky you. Like, for me, I actually try to tried one more session with our team and maybe try to get like the one of the other gray units, like Wedding, Fjorn, and or Summer Guntra. But yeah, I gotta say, Altair is definitely a pretty bossy one. The only thing is that she is a full-fledged tank, no speed whatsoever. See, she's a full-fledged tank.
Yeah.
Like what the build they have her with her right now, but yeah, like Altina is like, woo, she can beat you. I mean, the fact that she handles both Ragnar and Aldenite is just like, wow.
Yeah, I love her animations. Like they were really deep with her animations in this one. You notice that? It was really cool. So, yeah. And then we're obviously going to talk about the new special character, the new mythic hero that we're going to get because of the upcoming book four. So that'll be interesting to talk about, see how that plays out. But we'll get to that. So Tyler, what about you? Oh wait, he's not here. So I'm kid you not, ladies and gentlemen. We're wondering where he is, and it's just like if he's not here, we're going to rag on him all night long. So.
I just can't help. I'm getting some deja vu feeling when I was not here when I was in Malaysia. I can't help but getting some deja vu feelings here.
Well, okay, well, you let us know you were going to be in Malaysia, you know? Like, and if I was to miss a podcast, which has happened exactly never, outside of our scheduled missing ones, like for Thanksgiving and such, I would let you know. And then you could rag on me, but it would be in vain because I let you know ahead of time versus what Tyler is doing right now. So, anyway, since last week was Thanksgiving, we wanted to honor the Thanksgiving season by not doing a podcast. We have a lot of news to catch up on. So it's time to go down the warp pipe. So we'll start off with one of the big pieces of Switch news, which is over the Thanksgiving week from November 24th to November 30th, which actually, now that I think about it, yeah, that's a Saturday. So that doesn't even include Cyber Monday, because Black Friday was the 29th because of the weird placement of the month, you know? So
Like the
from
28th was a Thursday.
yeah, so from the 24th to the 30th, in just the US, the Nintendo Switch sold 830,000 units. I almost said million. That would have been a lot, but no. That's right. Every American now has just bought three Switch units, just on a whim. Nintendo sucks, quintupled. No, actually, if they did sell 830 million just in the U.S., I mean, I can't even imagine what that would do to their stocks. I mean, technically, wait, actually, they don't have stocks in the U.S., but it would affect
No,
Japan, wouldn't
no,
it?
no, no.
It would affect Japan, though, right? Like the
I'm
Japan stock
pretty sure it
market?
would affect Japan's stock market. Yeah,
Yeah.
I believe so.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, but no, 830,000 units, which makes this the biggest sales week in Switch history in the U.S.
And yeah, actually, surprisingly as well, it broke records for Nintendo history for the Black Friday sale. Like,
Yeah.
this is also combining with the like Nintendo Switch Lite. And of course, like the different bundles, like including with the better battery model of the
Yeah.
Switch, along with Super Mario Mario Kart Deluxe 8 Deluxe as well. So
Yeah.
it
So,
just goes to show you, like, yeah, people want it.
well, and they also willing to wait until like certain parts of the season so that they can get, the best deal. So, and now because of this incredible surge during Black Friday, which was not unexpected. We all expected them to do well in Black Friday if no reason because of Pokemon, which I'll get to. But because of this, they have now sold just in the US 17.5 million units. Again, that and yeah, again, that's combining all the variations of the Switch. But still, there are 17.5 million Switches just in the US, not including the rest of the world. So, that's incredible. Now, speaking of Pokemon, Nintendo has now confirmed that just in the United States, Pokemon has sold over 3 million units combined. And remember that they had sold 6 million worldwide within the first week of release. So that means that between that week, the next week, and to the 30th, so from the 15th to the 30th, they sold 3 million units just in the US. And they were at, I believe, 2 million, I think, at the time of the first week of sales. So they sold another million another week, give or take. So.
Right. And yeah, last I checked as well, like there are also a couple of other games that actually entered the like the Millionaire's Club as well. or at least like in the upper 100,000s. Like last I checked, I believe like Ring Fit Trainer actually did pretty well. Let's see other games like
Yeah,
what other games as well. I mean, yeah,
I heard that
of course,
Ring Fit,
naturally.
it's Ring Fit Adventure, but I hear that they were actually having stock shortages in Japan.
For
Like
real?
that, yeah, for real. That's how popular it was in Japan, that they were actually having shortages, and Nintendo actually apologized and said that they would do their best to get everyone Ring Fit Adventure if they needed it.
Wow. I mean, I get it in Japan because, again, they have a very active lifestyle. But here in America, I also know that Nintendo also offer services that actually let you buy the ring contraption by itself, or the leg strap for the Joy-Cons separately. So there's that. But really, wow, to actually be sold in Japan, that's impressive. And yeah, of course, naturally they continue with the sale of Mario Kart 8 Deluxe, which yeah, that thing would never die anytime soon. And of course, yeah, I believe Super Smash Bros. Ultimate actually passes that threshold. Like, I don't really remember now, but it's probably updated. Overall, like Nintendo pretty much like sold really well this past holiday season,
Yeah, the
so I can
Nintendo
only
is
imagine how it is.
thrilled. Needless to say, Nintendo is freaking thrilled. So, all right, so moving on, we have Will's favorite story of the night. Sakurai has made his feelings known on Death Stranding. Take it away, Will.
His Sakurai's Famitsu column just came out not too long ago, and basically he was more or less giving his praises of Hideo Kojima's Death Stranding, and it basically talks about how he basically avoided everything from me, like from spoilers to stories to media, just go at it in fresh. And basically he enjoyed how the story is basically of connections, like, and of course the mission structures. Well, and he acknowledges that it's definitely not for everyone. It's definitely a game it's meant for a particular taste. If you can like appreciate like the whole porter delivery service mechanic and how of its storytelling, like how unique it is. And basically he loves it. He basically loves how the games like work. He basically gets there are times like he just plays it, plans it for an hour, but he just gets completely sucked in. Like, it really is a game that you can really get lost into, and I can vouch for that.
Oh yes, I'm sure you
And
can, Will.
overall, like, hey, I spent so many hours. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Yes, I couldn't like put
You
into
should be
another
sorry,
Pokemon
Will.
game. Sorry. And but yeah, so like overall, Sakurai plays Death Stranding very feverishly, and he really gives props to Hideo Kojima's like creativity on the matter of fact. So, and just basically wrapping it up, like again, he loves the game. It's definitely not for everyone, but for everyone. It's a Kojima game, whether it be better or worse, it's like, you just gotta appreciate it or not. So
Or not.
again, it's again the whole or is again it's all eye of the beholder. Like it depends of how you view games. So it depends. So like if you want it, you like it. If you're not, you're not. So
As
I
I
for
noted
in Sakurai's case,
in our
he loves it.
last as I noted in our last podcast 2 weeks ago, if Death Stranding does win Game of the Year at the Game Awards, it's a conspiracy and you know it.
Yes, that thing. I will wholeheartedly agree with you there
All
because,
right.
like, come on, Smash Ultimate is obviously the game supposed to be, but Death Stranding that just came out recently. I mean, even as a fan of it myself, but come on, don't think it's worthy of that much of a title. So yeah, I agree. I agree.
Yeah, so it's going on. Do you feel that?
Do you feel a disturbance in the force?
No, I don't know. I feel something like a disturbance in the force. I guess we'll just have to see how it goes.
I
What
just said that.
while we're feeling your mic is breaking up, dang it. I can barely make jokes when I can't hear you. Anyway, so another piece of news is that, and this is really cool. Super Mario Maker 2 has added an update where you can get the freaking Master Sword. So, and I don't do you turn into Link? Is that how it works?
It pretty much you got the entire moveset of Link. You get to use the swords, his bombs, his downward strike is like you pretty much get the entire moveset of Link Adventures 2 in the game. Is like holy moly, using arrows, the boomerangs, even the rush attack in the old
Interesting.
games of yore is like
Yeah.
yeah, you get the full moveset of Link. You get the full moveset.
Curious.
It,
Curious. So
is
anyway,
that
so it's out now. So go and enjoy it, and go save Hyrule. I mean, Mushroom Kingdom. I mean, whatever. I guess you
it
technically
also
with all the items you have, you could probably make your own variation of Hyrule in the game.
practically much. I
Yeah,
mean,
pretty much.
like a lot of people wanted to get like Zelda Maker 2, but this is probably the closest thing we're gonna get. So yeah,
Yeah.
we were hoping for it like in Link's Awakening, but now with Super Mario Maker, we don't need it anymore. At
Yeah.
least not right now. So yeah,
All
this is
right.
probably the best replacement.
All right, moving on to wait for it. Wait for it. Another set of Super Smash Bros. Character rumors. Well, they never stop. Yes, it will. It'll stop next week when they reveal the fifth character. I mean, I'm with you, Will. I mean, I think it's the perfect symmetry. They unveiled Joker at the Game Awards, so now they're going to unveil their fifth character at the Game Awards. It's perfect symmetry. So, but what are the latest rumors? Well, this one actually has some basis. So roll with me on this. The character being named now is Dante from Devil May Cry. Now, to let you know, Dante has been on a Nintendo platform. In fact, both Devil May Cry 1, 2, and 3 is coming
Yes,
to the
yes,
Switch.
yes.
And they've even announced a special edition of Devil May Cry 3, which everyone agrees is like the best one. That set of maybe 5 now, I don't know. So he already has that's a check mark. Because remember, every third-party character has been on a Nintendo platform, even Snake and Cloud. So that box is checked off. Then, as if almost as a sign, Capcom and Nintendo came together and they released a special Resident Evil Spirit Board collection that just came out, including Leon, Claire, Wesker.
Correction, 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 sir. It's actually Chris Redfield, Jill Valentine,
Wait, Jill.
Albert Wesker, and
Leon.
what was the fourth one?
It was Leon.
Oh, was it Leon? Oh, okay.
Yes.
Sorry. I got mixed up with
I knew it
Foxy
was
Brown. Sorry,
Leon.
sorry.
Leon's the
Yeah,
most
it was Leon.
popular Resident Evil character outside of maybe Jill. So,
Okay, sorry.
anyway. But yeah, so the reason this is significant is twofold. One, it's two Capcom things potentially being together with Devil May Cry and Resident Evil. Two, Leon, who was, of course, born on the Nintendo GameCube via Resident Evil 4, has long been asked for in Smash Brothers, but now he's a spirit, and no direct spirit has been also translated to a game character. Now, there's variations on, like, Link and everything from his various titles, and same with Mario, but, and you start other characters, but no one-to-one spirits have ever been done, so which would mean that Leon would not be in the game. And none of the other Resident Evil characters would even be registered on that. Although I suppose there are a few. No, not as popular as Leon. So everyone's wondering, could this mean that Dante is going to be in Smash Brothers?
It would be an interesting case. I know a lot of people would appreciate Dante being in the game, though the fact that it will be another sword wielder, but he also has dual gunplay,
Yeah,
so.
it's like I say, it's a he's and remember, one of Dante's things is his infinite amount of weapons, like that the briefcase, which can turn into however many weapons. So the sword could be like a base along with his guns, but then his special attacks could be all his other wacky weapons.
Man, true. So,
So.
yeah, he has his other arsenals. So yes, so similar to Bayonetta. So, I mean, again, Dante would be a quite exciting addition to it. And if they put it in, maybe I don't know. And like, I don't know. I'm getting the whole feeling because again, as you know, Dante and Bayonetta always had to kind of like rival since. Again, with the companies creating them, so I don't know. Maybe we hopefully get another teaser of Bayonetta 3. I don't know.
Yeah, we.
I get feeling. I'm sorry.
No,
It's
it's
just
just
like
if
it
we
would
don't
be a
get
perfect
Bayonetta 3
opportunity.
this year, what the heck are they doing? I mean, it was one thing when they didn't show it last year, but it's been like 3 years now, give or take, since our last even tease of Bayonetta. It was at least two Video Game Awards ago. So, you know, if they don't do it this year, something is going wrong. I'm just saying.
I mean, all we know is that Platinum Games is working studiously on it. I mean, it's pretty much it's gonna be the same situation as Shin Megami Tensei 5. So who knows? Who knows?
Yeah. All right. So moving on. Nintendo Online. They are adding more games to their free service if you have it. What were they all, Will?
One of the games that's actually very surprising is they added Star Fox 2 to the service,
Yes.
which I don't know. I kind of feel a little chipped now for getting a Super Nintendo Classic because, like, that's kind of the reason why we bought the SNES Classic in the first
Don't
place. So
lie.
now you're putting
Don't
it on the Nintendo
no, don't
Switch.
lie. Okay, that was a perk. That was a perk getting a game that was never fully released into the world. You didn't buy the SNES Classic for Star Fox 2. You bought SNES Classic because it's the SNES, all right, which is arguably one of the greatest consoles of all time, all right, with some of the best games of all time. That's why you bought it. You didn't buy it for Star Fox. You bought it so you could play everything all over again. Oh,
Perhaps.
shut up,
I
Will.
mean, again, that is a perk. That's kind of the extra perk of getting SNES Classic. So now adding it to the Nintendo on Switch Online service is like, okay, now we have an extra option. So I'll play on the SNES Classic or have a Nintendo Online service
Anyway,
subscription.
what are the other
So,
games, Will?
okay, now I have a better chance. Looking at the other games, we also have Super Punch Out, which I don't know. Personally, for me, I really enjoyed that game. Like for the whole Little Mac place, it
Right.
really is like a very good interpretation of Punch Out. Let's see. Other games that I'm really happy is Kirby Superstar. Is just like I love that game to death. I really love like all the eight different games of Kirby in that game. It is like one of the best games. I spent so much hours back in my youth playing that game on the SNES. So yeah, Kirby Superstar, great game, great addition. And also another SNES game is Breath of the Wild. Not Breath of the Wild. Breath of Fire
There
2,
you go.
which
Say.
I don't know. I heard a lot of good stuff about Breath of Fire series. So, say the least. So yeah, Breath of Fire 2 is coming to also to the online service. Going to on the NES side of things, they have a classic game called Silas. I think that's how it's pronounced. It Silas. I believe that's how it's pronounced. It. Also, like a very old traditional RPG game. Last I checked, I know a lot of people kind of sing its praises, but I'm not really aware of the game. And also another game they also added on is like what was it again? Is it Crystalis? Something like that? Crystalis? Something with like a crystal something? I don't remember the name.
I ask you to do
Yeah,
one
so they
job,
also added
and you
one more
can't
game,
even do that. I give
Crystalis.
you one job, Will. Oh my gosh. I'm taking
Did
this
you
L.
want to
This,
correct me there,
yes,
good
I will
sir?
correct you. Let me list to you all of the things that are. Hold on, this is. I'm just. It's really annoying. This, like, okay, it's. I don't know why this is so hard. It's Journey to Celeus and Crystalis.
Oh, Celeus.
Celeus and Crystalis. All
Okay,
right. Sh
sorry.
No, the phrase is, "Excuse me, princess." Yeah. So, isn't that your catchphrase now, Will? I mean, you've been saying it forever. So why not?
Yes. Look, I'll admit to my mistakes. I'll admit it. I'll admit it.
All right, let's move on. This is getting weird. All right, also, there's a Nintendo Switch SNES controller is sold out until tw January 2020. So
I'm kind of surprised of how these things are actually selling out. Like you only could buy them on the Nintendo site, and so for the point of actually being sold out, and like wowzers! Like I get the SNES controller is a very novelty item. I mean, again, it's the SNES controller, but for it to be sold out like this way and until next year, it's like holy moly!
Yeah.
And it's kind of funny as well because, like, currently right now they're also doing a discount sale for the NES controller for the Switch. That's currently sitting at $30, right? Last I checked. So I don't know. It's like, wow, for it to be sold out on Nintendo's home front, it's like, I guess that people love the SNES controller. I mean, do you have any feelings about that?
Well, it's just I find it
Note.
interesting that there are like these controllers are selling so well. I mean, you think like what do I really need a SNES controller for my Switch? Do I really want to play the Switch like that? Like I personally wouldn't. I'm fine with the Switch controller. I play it in a handheld mode. You know, I'm perfectly fine with how I have it. And yet clearly if they're selling enough, they're selling out to where, you know, they're gonna you know, not be able to replenish until 2020. That's saying something. So that's pretty impressive. And again, it just goes to show that when it comes to nostalgia, sometimes it's just more powerful than you realize. I would not have called that they were going to sell out like this, not in a million years.
Right. And also, Nintendo, if this pretty much doesn't tell you right now, can you please release Super Mario RPG on my Nintendo online service? Please?
Yeah.
Come on. Many people bought that controller. Come on, that is the perfect opportunity to release Super Mario RPG. Please.
I waited like 2 decades to finally own that game. I got it for the Wii. It was like, I think it was like the only virtual console game I bought.
Right,
And
right,
then I
right.
didn't finish it. I got to a point, I got to a certain point, and then I just stopped for one reason or another. I just honestly had no idea. I have no idea why I didn't finish it. I mean, I really wanted to beat that game. And, you know, almost like I want to beat Tyler Senseless for not being here. So,
Right.
wait, did you hear that?
What's that voice in the ether? Can you
What?
hear something?
Are our voices in our head talking again? Oh,
No,
man.
I have been here the whole.
Oh my God, she's here!
I don't know why you weren't listening. I've been here the whole time.
Oh no, you don't even.
No, you have not been. That's your
Yeah, our
apparition
viewers
of
know
Tyler.
better. Our viewers know
No,
better.
yes. So I am so sorry. What happened was my alarm for 8:40, and then unfortunately, 8:40 it didn't go off. But that was because I said it's 8:40 a.m. I said it's 8:40 a.m., which frankly happens way too often.
So basically, you screwed up.
Yes. Can you hear the feedback?
Just a little. We'll let you know if it gets too bad, but. I just want to know. Now, I can sympathize with alarms not going off. That's my nightmare every time I have to do a Comic-Con where I have to wake up in the morning early. So that's why I set 3 alarms. But that would also mean that even though your alarm didn't go off, that you were nowhere near a clock for like 1 hour and 20 minutes.
Wait, how so?
You said you set your alarm for 8:40 your time, right?
Yes.
Okay. So that would mean that would be 7:40 my time. So 20 minutes before the podcast starts, usually,
Right.
right? So I told the people at home listening that, you know, we try and start within, you know, 10 to 15 minutes of, you know, 8 o'clock my time, 9 o'clock your time. So we started about 50 minutes after that because we were just expecting you to be fashionably late.
Of course.
Of course. And so now we've been going on for another 40 minutes. So that's 1 hour and 20 minutes that you clearly didn't have access to a clock.
Right, because I was asleep. That was the tough part.
You
The
were asleep.
alarm, yeah, the alarm didn't go. And when I woke up, I immediately realized what had happened, and there was panic and remorse because I obviously waiting. So I apologize very much so for.
It's all right. You can make it up in the main event. So, because we're talking about Pokemon, and then you can talk about your review. Where we were was, you know, we're just talking about the SNES controller selling out for the Switch, and it won't be restocked until January. So that's kind of a surprise for all of us. But
That's surprising for me too.
yeah, I mean.
And more to the point, I didn't even. I don't think I would have had any good insight to offer on that anyway. I was saving all my good points for the end, is what I was doing.
Ah,
Ah.
jeez. I wonder.
Are you sure you don't work for the president with that kind of spin? Bing. Over the wall, all of you. Okay, now our next news story, it's huge, okay? And I know huge because I am a huge man. I have huge hair. I have huge personality. I have huge... Well, I can't say that on this podcast. It might be termed as bad, but, you know, I'm big. But we got big news on Fire Emblem Heroes, okay? So book three ended. It was kind of weird, okay? The cutscene that they made afterwards was much better than the actual plot. But now we got, wait for it, book four, okay? And guess what? They got fairies. Because everything needs fairies. Fantasy stories need fairies. We need fairies for Fire Emblem Heroes. Boom. They gave us fairies. You know why? I asked for fairies. Fairies are awesome. Okay, I can't keep doing this. All right. Aside from my Trump impersonation, I was actually telling the truth. No comments, please. Book four has officially been announced for Fire Emblem Heroes, and we will be going into a fairy world, or as Will very nicely attributed to, we're basically going to be going Midnight Summer Night's Dream.
It's
all right.
Definitely kind of a weird thing. I like during the showing of the last Fate channel, like they showed off, they go into different editions, including the Mjolnir Strike. Yeah, that was the name with Mjolnir Strikes. Basically, kind of like it's very similar to a Rockier Sieges, but basically, like you're playing defense mode and Radiant Dawn. Correct me if I'm wrong. It reminds of Radiant Dawn, that defense siege.
Yeah.
So, nice little addition there for that. So, yeah. But yeah, like, book four. It's very, Midsummer Night's Dream, very Shakespeare. And the fact that we're having fairies now, which, okay.
Fairies! Yeah.
Fairies and then the two antagonist fairies.
Dark fairies.
Dark fairies. It's, I mean, it's going to revolve. All I just can tell is that it's going to revolve a lot about sleep. Like, apparently a sleeping epidemic. Which
dude,
kind
no.
of a funny thing, but yeah.
Dude, they were falling asleep because they got transported to a mystical land, and then when Alphonse got trapped, she did time travel. Clearly.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I think it seemed like there was some sort of...
Tyler? Like, where... You cut out a little bit there.
I'm signing in on a different...
While he's switching mics, I think it's interesting. I think it's actually a lovely antithesis to what we just had, because book three, as much as book two was fiery, book three was dark. I mean, with the death of Alphonse's father, all the talk about death, the many deaths of Eir, you know, and all of that. And so now we're getting, you know, fairies and all of that. And so... I don't know why I'm saying it like that. It's just coming to my mind that I want to say a high-pitched voice. Fairies! You know?
It's definitely the tone shift is like very subtle. Like, from death, boom, and edginess to fairies, Midsummer Night's Dream, and awful colorfulness is like... It's definitely a tone shift. It's kind of a little bit jarring in some aspects, but heck, a new unit once we finish up the first chapter, and heck, again, going with the new banner, which... I gotta say, they really are giving more respect to Thracia 776, which a lot of people kind of appreciate that.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of Japanese games that didn't get released, like Mystery of the Emblem, which was the second Marth game, and then of course Genealogy of the Holy War, which I still want. And it's not that I want to see Sigurd burn, but I want to see Sigurd burn. I want to see how they do it. and then of course we have Thracia 776. And all these characters, and like some of them have been, we just had one with the recent Tempest Trials, you know, where, you know, the games that Pence and Luis were in, I think that was one of the Japanese ones, you know, they had a focus in the story, so why not do another remake? And, you know, there's been rumors of other remakes, so you never know. And I'm interested. Of course, the new banner goes up tonight at the time of this recording, so... Be on the lookout for that, and I'm glad. I mean, if there's ever a game to, you know, dip into the big history, it's Heroes. It's literally built that way.
And yeah, I just can't help but wonder what's gonna be the next thing, like what they're gonna delve into this book. So because, like, again, we know like they're basically very going into the whole Norse mythology with Loki, Thor, Mjolnir, and all that. So to take this tone shift and regards to like names like Pion. Like the fairies' names, Like, are they gonna go for the Shakespeare route, or are they gonna like take some tributes here and there? I'm legit curious.
Never know. Intelligent Systems knows what they're doing, so we'll see. Dolly, you back?
No, keep carrying on. I'm
Okay.
loading up a different computer. I think I really broke. Not
All right.
great.
Okay, we got time.
Oh.
All right, so this story I wanted to do lastly, but obviously we were gone.
Oh yeah, right. This story. You're
Yeah,
right. Now I remember.
this story. So, if you don't know, there is a Pokemon store out in Japan. Obviously, it's called the Pokemon Center. Obviously. And so it's been a huge hit in Japan, why not? And so they decided to expand, right? So they put a new store in Shibuya, a place I definitely want to go to. Shout out World Ends With You. And so they open the store. Everything's fine, right? And then people actually start going into the store. And
Okay.
they see in a large stasis tube a life-size floating, quote, breathing Mewtwo. Now, when I say breathing, I mean like you can see like the quote unquote air bubbles, just like he did. This is a reference to Pokemon the first movie, obviously, where he was being created by Team Rocket scientists and all that. But there was a lot of response on the internet for this because some people thought it was weird. Some people thought it was creepy. Some people thought it was cool. And I'm like, you idiots! It's freaking Mewtwo! What are you complaining about?
I mean, heck, it's not like the Pikachu movie with Mewtwo's interpretation. So, I mean, it is very similar to the Detective Pikachu interpretation. I'm curious now.
No, I just said it's a reference to the first movie.
Yeah, I get it's from the first movie, but it's like very similar to like the Detective Pikachu interpretation. I mean, I get it's like
In terms
the
of looks or
referencing the
what?
first movie game. In terms of looks, yeah, in terms of looks,
Oh,
like
I
the
don't know. I
appearance
would have to
versus,
look at Mewtwo closer, but the
magic.
reference is to Pokemon the first movie because that's where he was, born slash created before he went postal and everything. So, but j just the just the idea, because I want to know the pitching process for that. All right? I want to know the person who said, "Hey, I got an idea for a big central piece of the Pokemon Center." Ooh, is it Pikachu? No, it's not Pikachu. That's overdone. Oh, can you like do like a picture thing where they can like pretend to be Ash and stuff? No. Let's go bigger. Okay, then what do you want to do? I want to put Mewtwo in a stasis pod. I want a life-size Mewtwo in a stasis pod. Make it look just like the first movie. And then they all apparently said okay. Okay.
And just also as a make sure as well, because like you said this like on the second location of the Pokemon Center, not like the new Nintendo Japan that opened up recently. Is this correct?
Yeah,
I just want to make sure on that.
it's the one that they just opened in Shibuya.
Okay. But I know like recently they also announced that Nintendo Japan like that was opened up like not too long ago, give or take.
I don't know.
So yeah.
I just
Okay.
remember
All
that the
right.
Mewtwo thing was in Shibuya. All right.
All
I
right,
will
I
look.
get it.
Yeah,
You
I will
guys
re-look it
just
up. I will re-look it up.
discuss Nintendo beginning to open business in China soon?
I did not. Please
I
elaborate.
saw this. I saw this just a quick tidbit that I saw that Nintendo's preparing to open, start selling Switches in China. I believe next year. I'll have
Ooh.
to double check on that. But that's like, I mean, that's huge. And maybe we'll do. Maybe we can make that a main event for next week because I think
That would be
there's a
interesting.
lot to dive into there.
Well, remember, next week is the Game Awards.
All right. Well, that's an evergreen topic. We can talk about it at some time. More pressingly. I don't hear the feedback on my end.
Nope.
Is it on? Yeah, all right. Right. So now we can start.
Oh, please. We're almost
So
done,
I've been
Hotshot.
playing.
We're the fact we're almost done with this podcast,
Yeah,
right?
dude,
And
we're
you had
almost
to
to the
come at
main
the bash
event.
me
Sa save
late
your
and
comments for then.
yeah.
Okay. All right. But did you hear about the life-size Mewtwo?
I did.
Okay.
I saw your comments on that. That was very cool. I honestly kind of thought it was going to break the glass and just start attacking people. But, yeah, no, that was sick. I wonder how much it cost them to make.
I don't know, but it's like I love it so much. It's just like I serious. I was telling while you were gone, I was like, I want to know the planning process for that. Who suggested that idea? Give that man or woman a raise.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and now another reason for me to go to Japan so I can finally catch a Mewtwo. So, just saying. All right, so now that Tyler is here, we can actually honestly go to our main event. Yay! Timing. Nice job, Captain Late.
So, yeah,
oh, and you do realize now, you can never not say you haven't been late before.
Yeah, yeah. Listen, this was the first time I've ever been.
Oh, gosh.
No, if you guys want, I will like order you pizza from afar to make up for it. Like I'll
that's a tempting
give you
offer.
Guys. Yeah, yeah. I mean, I feel real bad, so that's all I'll right. go so far as long as you don't put pineapple on it.
Oh no, pineapple on a pizza? Are you kidding me? Gosh.
Yeah. Okay. Good. Okay.
Well.
I'm not getting pizza.
No, pineapple.
He's considering the offer.
Yeah, no, pineapple on a pizza, yes or no?
Hey, I will defend pineapple pizza for the until the end of time.
I knew it! I knew it! I knew it was you!
I did too, there was no doubt.
Dang it, Will. First Death Stranding and now this. Alright, so, getting to an actual palatable topic. Ugh, pineapple on pizza. Pokemon Sword and Shield. It's been a few weeks. Some of us have actually beaten it. One of us has only not even gotten to the first gym.
Would that's like shocking, but not
I know.
Really.
Yeah, I know. That's what happens when Kojima corrupts Will's mind. So.
Please, no. I'm getting the whole reaction of frantic. I'm shocked. Shocked. Well, I'm not that shocked.
Nah, that's shocked.
I'm getting that vibe from you, too.
Uh-huh. Anyway, so. We have played the game. Well, some of us have. And we've dissected everything between our personal reviews or the written reviews that Tyler actually did publish. Congrats.
Hooray! All
right. 4 days late, but still.
And yeah, I wish I had a little bit more time with it.
Oh,
I just wanted it to
gosh.
Be... I didn't get to talk about Pokejobs. There was a few things I didn't get to put in because...
I honestly didn't do Pokejobs. I honestly completely forgot about that.
Yeah, I mean, they weren't big enough for me to talk about, and
nah.
The review was long enough.
Well,
so.
Now is your perfect chance, because now that some of us have played the game in depth... Let us talk about what this means for the next generation of Pokemon. Not unlike how Breath of the Wild changed the game, we can also think about the ways, and we have in the past, of how Breath of the Wild will inspire the next game. In this case, Breath of the Wild 2. So regardless of whether they make, what are we going to say, Pokemon Lance, or they just go straight into Gen 9 like they've done before, what do we think will be the next evolution based on what we have in Sword and Shield? And we're going to do this in an Nintendo discussion. So, Tyler, I'll let you go first because I want you to talk about both your review and how your feelings of the game are leading you to what you think can be improved, can be made better, different ideas. Elaboration on better ideas.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah, take it away.
Yeah, I mean, the topic is kind of perfect for what I wrote in the review, because I like the game a lot, but I felt that it left so much on the table, particularly in the wild area. As far as the wild area went, I felt like there was so much more potential that went untapped, and I would like to see that expanded in the next Pokemon game. I feel like Game Freak kind of missed an opportunity in Sword and Shield to make the game feel like a super special Pokemon experience. And I know everybody's going to have a different take on it. That's mine. I felt like all of this could have been done on a 3DS in a Switch console Pokemon title I was hoping for, and I hope that in the next generation, now that they're used to developing for the Switch, they've made a home console game before, they'll kind of go a little more all out in creating what I put it in the review as a Pokemon ecosystem. I would like to see the wild area's ideas expanded on, first, the area itself being larger, but second, I want to see how these Pokemon interact with each other in the wild. Right now, they really only interact with you, and I think that's a huge missed opportunity. When I picture the world of Pokemon, I assumed that our ticks are hanging around by frozen ponds looking for protein to eat. You know, I assume that these creatures have habitats and they have behavioral patterns that we could really explore and observe. And I just didn't get that sense out of Sword and Shield. And that's my biggest thing I would like to see in the future is kind of a deeper dive into what Pokemon look like in their natural environments, instead of kind of making them feel like they're kind of copy and pasted into just some random tall grass. I want to feel like I'm actually exploring their space.
No, that's not a bad idea. I mean, I think without a doubt, one of the biggest problems I had with the wild area was like 10 Vanillites. I mean, you would say, oh, but that's like, you know, it's an ecosystem. And I'm like, I'm sorry, but there's 10 Vanillites in one area and I'm not in the mountains. You got a problem.
Yeah, right. Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, and again, like, part of this is the Pokedex, which we will totally talk about. But it's balance, you know? Like, and I loved that there were, like, the magical lines, if you will. Like, once you cross them, then, hey, you're facing a different crop of Pokemon. Like how you went from the Vanillites and the Bunnelbees to the Gastlys and, you know, Noibats and all of them, Duskulls, you know. You cross that line and it just shifts, and then you go to another area and there's a different kind of thing going on, and it's great. So, you know, that was pretty cool, but I do feel like, you know, there needs to be a better balance.
Yeah.
I mean, and yes, I do acknowledge that, and I'm saying, and yes, I know this is going to anger a lot of people. It would be near impossible to have all. What number are we at again?
We're past
890.
890?
Wow.
Really? I thought we were higher than that. I know
I did too, but it's 890.
Okay, fine. 890. So let's just add 110 for the next generation, right? Gen 9. Okay, so that's 1,000 Pokemon. It would be impossible to put in 1,000 Pokemon into a game, even with the wild area, and make it believable that all of these Pokemon are around here in one region. Because if you think, even just think about this in terms of like the anime, all right? The reason that it's so exciting is because not all the Pokemon live in all the regions. Like when Ash went to Kalos, everyone was freaking out about Pikachu because there's no Pikachus in the Kalos region, apparently. Obviously, in the games there were, but that's because Pikachu's the mascot, so what are you going to do? But, and then, and of course, there's the variants. You know, there's not going to be the Alolan variants in Galar. There's not going to be the Galarian variants in Kanto, and et cetera, et cetera. So I acknowledge that the Pokemon Company have a legitimate out to not put every Pokemon in the wild area in the wild. Now, trading-wise, I suppose you could do it like that, but that would create, I think, some weird programming bugs, but I don't know. I'm not a programmer. Mm-hmm. I hate programming with a passion. I got C's or F's in school on it. Don't hate me. Just remember, I got A's in writing class. A's in writing class. Never forget. But so I acknowledge that would be something that they definitely need to prove, is to add more variety to the game in terms of who's in the areas and everything. And obviously, there's going to be, like, they did a great job with who popped up and who had to be actually found in the grass. Because there's certain Pokemon you can only find via what I like to call the exclamation point battles.
Yeah.
Like Appletini. You can only catch that Pokemon in the grass if you wander around and hit the ones that shake up. That's fine. That's an out that you can use. So, you know, just change up the variety on that. And I do like the idea of the Pokemon interacting, but again, that goes back to programming. Because you see the interactions in the camps, because that's a closed loop. That's a closed area where, you know, you could add that kind of programming to where, you know, it's interacting with just the Pokemon that are around you or to you, and not the randomly generated Pokemon. But,
well, it's not like that's something that can't be done. I mean, I'll take Fallout, for example. If you're walking around in the forest, a lot of times you'll see super mutants fighting mole rats. You'll see the wildlife flashing. Like, these things, and it doesn't have to be fighting. How adorable would it be if you came across a Pikachu and an Eevee huddled up in a cave? Like, Pokemon to appear in certain areas and behave a certain way. I think that that's something that's achievable. And you're right. I didn't put this in the review because I knew it would be controversial. I am happy that they don't have every Pokemon ever in this game.
Me too.
It's better for it. I think the future of Pokemon is better for it. Because my dream, as I've just described, I think that we'll talk about the roots and all that and how we'd like to see them change in a bit, but I don't know if roots are even totally necessary anymore. I think that cutting down on the number of Pokemon, I don't care if there were only 200 in this game. If they were programmed to be interesting and behave in cool ways and it led to cool interactions, I'd be fine with that. Plus, that would mean in future games when they bring back Pokemon who were gone, they feel special to have them back.
Yeah.
I actually think that it's better without them all.
Me too. Mm-hmm. I totally agree.
There's definitely like a good aspect regarding to the imperfections of it, because as you said, like, you don't want to like make one game or one area like be a universal area to have all these Pokemon. I mean, I get it. You got with the whole thing of got to catch them all, of course. But at the same time, again, this is a different territory, different region. Like, it's not going to be a universal spot for every Pokemon. So, like, as I agree with your reasoning, Todd, that is the fact that it makes it something so different, because again, that the Galar region is so different from Kanto, Johto, all that, is just like, yeah, it just kind of adds more to the Pokemon universe. So I can definitely see that reasoning. Yes.
Yeah. All right, so keeping it light on spoilers for Will, let's talk about the story. Now, I noted in the podcast before the game's release that you don't play Pokemon for the story, and I do believe that still. But the story definitely did take some interesting routes, including the post-game content, how they dealt with Hop at times, still a terrible name, how they dealt with Sonia, the influence of Leon, the use of certain other characters that I won't spoil and all that.
Right.
So to start with you, Tyler, how do you think the story should evolve in the next games?
I don't think that a Pokemon story is super important. But I do think that they should try to hit some different beats. This one was, I would say, a middle-of-the-road Pokemon story. There wasn't anything shocking in it at all. Right away, you know who the bad guy is going to be. The characters, well, I guess Hop had some sort of growth. It's all very stiff, and none of it really feels authentic. I think that in an ideal Pokemon game, the story is going to be a secondary factor anyway, but I'd like to see them kind of take some more creative chances like they did in Gen 5, I believe, where there were much greater stakes looming over you. And you don't really need to tell a particularly complex story to be effective. I mean, I'd like to see an exploration more of the bond between the Pokemon and the trainer, for example. I think that that's something that the anime's done really, really well, but the games sort of haven't.
I think the closest we've honestly gotten is Let's Go Pikachu and Eevee.
Yeah, that's fair. And I like how in this game they always say your partner Pokemon. I think in the previous games they would say like your team or whatever. I they really emphasize partner Pokemon in this, and I found that somewhat effective. But I think that if they focused more on the relationship between the Pokemon and the trainer, you could have a much stronger story.
Yeah. I think that, as in all things, there are improvements. Like, the overarching villain, quote-unquote, didn't really feel like it at times.
No, yeah.
Just for the record, I know who you're talking about. So
sure,
yeah,
you do, Will. Sure you do.
No, I actually kind of spoiled myself a little bit on the story. And again, it's the whole energy crisis so far, so I'm aware of that part.
Yeah, he knows, Tyler. Wink. He knows. Wink, wink. He knows everything. Wink, wink, wink. Anyway. So it's like there are things that could have been evolved, but I can't help but love what they did with Sonia, and you know the relationship between Hop and Leon, and how certain other characters like Beedee, you totally thought they were gonna go with one direction with this kid, and then they go another direction with him. It's just like, okay. So I definitely think they definitely made some change. Or how Professor Magnolia, she barely played a role in much of the game. She didn't even give you your Pokemon. That was Leon.
Right.
So like that was a nice twist, which obviously they also did in X and Y to a certain extent. But you know, there was a lot of, I felt like there were improvements. You know, maybe not as much, maybe not as groundbreaking, and some things did feel a little rushed and weird at times, but They at least tried. So that's something, and they can always improve it and like take what worked and what didn't and see how it all applies. So, but I was pleasantly surprised by the divergence of how the main story went, and especially how you catch the legendaries, because it's very atypical of the Pokemon games. So
yeah,
I actually appreciated that.
No, I did too. This story was fine. Like, it wasn't like it was trash garbage. It didn't really move the meter for me, but I didn't expect it to. And I think that you could have, Pokemon could play a little more toward to the heart, I suppose. They could definitely pull on your heartstrings more than it does. It's a cute game, for one. I think it's easy to create that feeling of connection between you and your Pokemon team. And I think that's probably an option, at least for the next game. But this was fine. It's not like it was a disaster.
So, all right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, go ahead, Will. Go ahead and talk about the story that you totally know happened. Yeah, sure.
Yeah. Yes. I know about like the whole quote unquote like last guy that he fight just because he believes he's saving the world. Yes.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, it's the overall the story itself and according involving of post game content of getting legendaries at the end. Of course, with that those two, I don't know, like evil guys or just like very antagonistic guys when talking about the legendaries is like, I mean, it's not bad, but at the same time, I feel like it's definitely done better. And yeah, as I said, like this is actually a very good step in the right direction of what they can do with the next Pokemon game. And I can only imagine, like, if they're gonna move on to a different territory from our region, then yeah, at least they have a foothold of now what to do next of like, wild area mechanic that they use in this game. It's like at least now they have the experience. So I can only imagine see what game will do for the next game. So I feel like this is probably a good step forward.
I want to get your guys' thoughts, and this I wanted to make a bigger point about this, but again, word count is a thing. What do you think about having two versions still? I am so done with having two versions I'm curious what you guys think about it.
Okay, I can understand why you might not like it anymore, because we've done it. It's been now 8 generations, and I personally hate like the sequel versions, like when we had Black and White 2 and Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon. I didn't mind the third game because for a long time the third games were like the best versions. Like that's why I consider Crystal the best of the bunch, like all generations, because they made it feel special with Suicune, who is still one of my favorite Pokemon, and Emerald had a great one. It was a whole new story in many respects. Platinum with Giratina going to the upside down world, you know, that was good fun. And then they just, you know, kind of stopped, you know. And then they did like Black and White too, and it was kind of different, but not like in the good way. I also thought the graphics were horrible. X and Y, they just didn't do the third version, and I feel like that was a missed opportunity because they clearly had the third Pokemon with Zygrenade. And if you watch the anime, the Zygrenade arc was one of the coolest things in the history of that show. Fight me, bro. No, seriously, watch it and try and argue with me. I dare you. But then they did Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon, and they did pull a swerve, but it wasn't like as big as you might have thought. And then I don't know what they're going to do with Sword and Shield, but if they do a third game, I feel it definitely needs to be better. I do think they are taking more steps, because obviously outside of the Pokemon, we have the unique gym leaders. So
I
we
love
have
the gym leader.
Yeah,
we're
so
awesome.
we have the Ghost in the Shield, Ghost in the Shield, Ghost in Shield. I was going to say Ghost in the Shield sounds like an anime, which means we'll love it. But
hey, I know what you're talking about, the Ghost in the Shell. Yes, the Ghost in the Shell.
Or Ghost in the Machine, just saying. Yes, Ghost in Shield, and then we had the fighter in Sword. So I'm glad they're taking that approach. And maybe in the next generation, maybe they'll have like 4 to 5 different gym leaders, like really shake it up, you know, really make it feel unique. I don't mind them still doing the separate versions, because if there's enough different Pokemon, it makes it worth it. You know, like, you can only get Vulpix and Sword and Growlithe and Shield. You can only get the Galarian Ponyta in Shield, which I kind of wanted. You know, my little Ponyta. I have a story about Thanksgiving and My Little Pony. I'll tell you guys later. But, you know, I do like that they're still doing it. It gives you a reason. Then, obviously, the legendary Pokemon. That's the real thing. Like, you know, some of the stories were better because of the divergence. Like Ruby and Sapphire, you know, Magma versus Aqua and all that. So, you know, I think it still works. But I do agree, especially now, that they need to diversify it as much as possible, whether it be like even more unique Pokemon in each game or more unique gym leaders, and maybe even a different story element. My gosh.
I would rather just divert those resources towards making a new game than just have like a slight variation on it, because all the reasons that they have it or two versions are so contrived at this point. Like, I get in the original games, even though if I really think about it, like, even then, they really didn't need to do it. But it made sense to kind of create the community of people, like kids going around with their link cables and trading and made those Pokemon in the other games feel special. Now, it doesn't feel that way because you can just trade online. And for some reason, they just, like, destroyed the online offerings in this game. They just gutted them, and they are unbelievably bad. And that is honestly why I went 3.5 instead of 4 for my review, because the online is such a step backwards. But if they were to actually make games the best games they could be, the most enjoyable to play, you wouldn't have the two versions. Like, the gyms are cool. But I would like the challenge of the Ghost Gym. I don't know why. I'm not going to play a whole new game just so I can, you know, challenge the Ghost Gym. But it would be cool if they made that content. It'd be better to me if that was in the game as a post-game thing. That, hey, there are two bonus gyms after you beat the game that you can go explore. That's great post-game content.
And to answer your question, Tyler, like, for me, I'm pretty much in similar reasoning with Todd, because, like, if they made the two different versions, like, very different, like, really significant, like, as you said, a different story, or, like, I don't know, even a different territory to, like, really intertwine the two games together, like, then, yeah, I feel like that would probably be justified to make the two versions. And, of course, like, a lot of people give the argument of, like, yeah, it's just this Nintendo's easy money scheme of having people pay extra for, like, basically the same game, just minor variances. So, like, if they ever decide to make, like, one universal version, like, the definitive version of Pokemon, like what they've done with Emerald, then it just kind of feels like one is not going to be as, like, I wouldn't say profitable, but it's just, like, won't be printing money or, like, be as, like,
oh yeah, no, it would absolutely cut success into their earnings for sure, because there are a lot of people who buy the double pack, and that's why they do it still, is because they know that people will buy the double pack. I think that limits how good the game can be, and it's just an unnecessary frustration that you have this wall stopping you from. It's a $60 right. paywall.
Right. And, like, again, like, it's just kind of like, it also feels like this is, like, ration of, like, that the purposely take the content and make it into a different game just to, like, for an extra buck, which some people can argue, which, I mean, I get that reasoning. So, like, in regards, like, I don't mind it for two versions, because, again, this kind of is almost the point of being tradition. But, and then I can understand, like, why people want to break that tradition, because, again, like, one, it's a very outdated ideology of, like, keeping these two games together separate just for the sake of, like, either profit or for the sake of, like, making that Pokemon community greater. So, it's definitely something to think about. I agree. It's definitely something to think about.
All right, so let's wrap up with this one question. I am giving you free reign to bash this game in this singular way. Well, except for Will, because he hasn't played much. What is the one thing that they absolutely have to change for next generation? It can be, and Tyler, should you want, you can make it the whole different version thing, but I have a feeling you want to go deeper. So, what is the one thing that you know has to change? I'll go first, because mine's right here. They need to stop with the unique evolutions.
Oh, that's interesting.
There are so many Pokemon in Sword and Shield that have absolutely ridiculous evolution requirements. I had to look up every single one because my goal in this game was to get up as much of my Pokedex in the natural course of the game as I could. I did trading with Tyler. I did the magic trade? I did surprise trade. Got a lot of good Pokemon there. You know, I was doing evolutions left and right. And then when I knew that I had their next evolution done and I felt like I had a good team still, I would go and I would grab another Pokemon. And then I kept finding that Pokemon after Pokemon after Pokemon. Of these new ones, both the brand news and the Galarian variants, had these absolutely insane requirements for evolving. Like Appletini, who you had to get a specific item from a specific character who you might have passed and not talked to for one reason or another, and you're raising up your Appletini thinking, oh, one level he'll evolve, it'll happen. No, it won't!
Right.
Or how about, there's this one snow Pokemon, like Gino or something like that, and it can only evolve if you have 220 happiness points. Okay, which, yeah, you can do by battling with it, but it's not a set thing. Or Galarian Linoone, who you have to battle with like 50 times. I was able to do it.
I don't think that was true. I remember when I said in the last episode that it was Knight level 35. That happened for me. I did one fight with one at level 35, and it evolved.
Okay, that's interesting, because mine didn't evolve until level 52.
Maybe it was just like the in-game clock was set to the day.
Maybe
it displayed as night, but I don't know. It definitely was level 35 at night.
Yeah, but every other site that I looked up said that theirs didn't evolve until level 50 to 56.
Hmm.
So I don't know, but still, like, that clearly means that there's a trick to it.
Yamask is the worst.
Yamask, gosh, yeah, you have to do 50 damage, make sure it doesn't die, then take it to the specific rock in the wild area while still damaged, and then it evolves.
Yeah, that,
really?
That one's weird. And like, you can look him up, but you'll never get that if you don't look that up.
And there are some people who don't like using guys because they think it's cheating, and so they're. So imagine if they had a team full of all these special requirement Pokemon, and they're just leveling up, trying to get them to evolve, and none of them do. And they're like, "What did I do wrong? You didn't look up because you don't know." Because they're so I don't want to say it's stupid, because there are obviously plenty of Pokemon that have unique evolution traits, like the Eevees, especially Espeon and Umbreon, who you have to evolve in a specific time of day with their happiness meter and all of that. But you know, when you're just trying to catch them all and then you have to do all these really weird things just to get them to evolve, that gets old real quick.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I don't mind a few. I would say even a handful, 5. But I know I counted at least 10 of these special evolutions in of just this new batch. And it's just like, are you freaking kidding me with all this crap?
Right.
So that's my thing. It's like, Keep evolution basic. Levels, stones, whatever.
That's a good one.
Thank you. I try.
The thing that I hate the most about Sword and Shield is the online features. They are
interesting.
Just an absolute disaster. I would say they're the worst. It's the worst online Switch game out there. And there are plenty of bad ones, but just the fact that they got rid of the global trading system makes trading with strangers borderline impossible, and just a constant exercise in friction where you can no longer, like, the version exclusives now are really challenging to get. Although I will say, I guess those are slightly easier sometimes than like the fossil Pokemon I've been trying to get. Because
yeah, I have
like,
no idea how to do the fossil Pokemon.
Those are it's very challenging because it's for the Pokemon that there's only one of in each game. You can't just post, okay, I'll trade you my Lunala for your Solgaleo, and then when you do that, then you can just used to be able to just post a Solgaleo and get a Lunala back, and then you'd have the one whichever version you chose. Now you have to hope that the strangers that you're trading with understand what you want, or they're looking for the same. Out of the 400 that are in this game, you have to hope that their wants match up with yours. And most of the time, you're probably trading with somebody who's a kid who's just trying to get Wooloo off their team and get a cool Pokemon in return. And the fact that you can continue to offer the same Pokemon that keeps getting rejected over and over and over, it's just, it's an astoundingly frustrating system that was not a thing in Gen 6 or Gen 7.
We did have Wonder Trade.
Well, we did. Wonder Trade's fine. I don't have an issue with that.
Okay.
I mean, you're right, you'll get a lot of crap there, but you know what you're getting into there. Trading for what you want should not be as hard as it is now. It's very, very frustrating. And it just seems like a reason to make having two versions tempting again. And I hated it so much. Also, online battles have like a 20 turn limit. Like there's a
for real?
Yes.
I honestly haven't done them.
There's a turn limit, that's like pretty strict, and maybe it's a timer. There's a strict timer that people stall out online battles all the time. They're just, oh, I'm winning, but I know you have me beat because I know who's in your party, I know who's in mine. I'm just not going to move for 20 seconds, and then the game will cut out, and then I'll win. It's unbelievably stupid, and that wasn't in the previous games. There was a timer. It was a 30-second match timer, but that would never expire. I think you had 60 seconds to choose a move. It never ran out. It was never an issue in my experience.
Wow.
For some reason, in this one, it is. I don't understand. It's very, very frustrating. That's the one that they absolutely must fix to me. There's a lot of things I'd like to see improved. There's a lot of quality of life changes. I hate the capture rate. I hate the encounter rate. I think that they need to make the experience a little more user-friendly. I get, again, Will is a loves the tradition. I appreciate the tradition of watching the Pokeball shake three times, but when you burn and paralyze a Pokemon and have them down to one health and they're not a legendary, I kind of just want to catch it and not have 19 Ultra Balls fail.
I had that happen to me. I know exactly what you're
saying. I mean, I took like 2 hours to catch a stinking Molly, who I was never going to use, but I like to fill out the Pokedex, and it was, again, a torturous experience. One that I could have avoided had I been able to just say, you know what? I'm going to give myself this one and put a Molly on my GTS, and I'll trade somebody something decent and I'll get that back. Wasn't able to do that. So, yeah. Online features is the number one for me, though. I had an honorable mention, the catch rate.
I guess for me, something that I want to take out is, I guess just the fact of, like, really improve upon the internet function. If they're going to really try to like incorporate internet, like obviously one, improve upon your internet functionality, because like as you said Ty, it's just horrible. As you said, like the fact that I actually have a tournament format is like, really, come on, like at least like set like, local rooms or something of that sort. Like I don't know, like take something cues, like even like for Smash Bros. Ultimate, like do something up though, like take some cues of their like magic of some sort. Is that sense of tradition that they have in this game that's obviously meant to appeal for the style fans? But I feel like there's something that else they really could do with the next step of really bringing it into like current gen. Like for example, like I don't know, a lot. I get it that maybe, because Nintendo doesn't allow like the whole messaging because of like obviously bad words and all that, but I feel like perhaps they can actually improve upon like interaction, actually giving legit message like I need this, I need that for this, like something of like a good way to like, communicate in on the internet side. Like I don't know, I'm sorry to make this comparison, but yes, use Death Stranding's thing of like,
don't you dare,
something of like a positive enforcement when connecting to like other players. sorry, but it's like that's something they really have to improve upon, and Yeah, I guess all I say is like the encounter rate as well. Like definitely like that 1% encounter rate of like of certain Pokemon in a certain time in a certain place. Don't do that. Like it's not enough. We gotta contest RNG already, but to really put it to that point, like no, please do not let RNG be the factor of all things. So please just take a random out of the next game. That's what I feel like.
All right, well, with that, we would like to hear your thoughts on these games, and of course, let us know what you think needs to be improved. So, we're gonna end this episode of the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast. Tyler!
Yes, 2 weeks ago, our last episode, we asked you how you would rate Pokemon Sword and Shield based on what you've played thus far, and 46% of you said you were having a blast, 15% said it was all right, 15 said it was you were disappointed, and 23 said you hadn't played enough.
Will.
And Will was,
Hey,
yes.
don't look at me. I didn't vote in that
Will,
cut.
No, I'm just
finished?
saying for a fact. That's you.
What did you think about the Black Eagles ending, Will?
Oh, yeah.
When you got that, when you finished that
Yeah.
over the break.
That's what I thought. Anyway, so do we want to do a poll this week about what can be improved for next generation? What do you think, Tyler?
Yeah, that's a good one. Let's look
Okay.
that up.
What's the one thing you want improved for the next generation of Pokemon? Better internet, better variations in the two versions. Phrase that how you want, Tyler. Better version of the wild area. That's three. And better Pokemon.
Yeah, that's good.
Always gotta go for the cheap one.
I really like the Pokemon in this game. I thought they were
I like most
excellent.
of them. There are a few duds. I mean,
Oh, of course. There's
do we
always
really
duds.
need a metal a bear trap of a Stunfish? Or a
Yeah,
Stunfish.
I
What the heck was
really
that?
didn't like Stunfish, and that thing's catch rate was low.
And it was just annoying. It's like, oh, there's a dot. I'm like, oh my gosh, what is that? You
Yeah.
know? It's like, really?
But by and large, this was a strong batch. I mean, I could definitely go 15 deep with Pokemon
Yeah,
that I
it was
like.
better than expected, and you know, so especially when we saw like the first Pokemon like Yamper and Milky or and all of
Yes.
them. Yeah, like
Yes.
everyone's like, "Oh, this is gonna be a terrible generation." And
I
then we
said
start.
that. I did not. I thought it looked like it was going to be really disappointing, and I was blown away by how much I liked
Yeah.
them. So.
So that'll be our poll question, and then next week we're not sure how we're gonna do this because the Game Awards are gonna be on, and obviously there's gonna be some big announcements, including more than likely the last Pokemon, or sorry, last
Smash.
Super Smash Brothers character for the
That
first
poor
Fighter
game
Pack.
one.
You never know. It could
Very
be a
true.
Pokemon. You don't know. You don't know. It's like Lugia drops the ball or something like that. I
Yeah.
don't know. Oh, I know. What? Mew laughs in your face because you thought it was Dante. I don't know.
It's going to be someone really cool, I
I
think.
would hope.
I'm
I would hope.
expecting something cool.
I mean, because again, they have to somehow top Banjo.
Right.
Yes, I know Terry was the last character, but that was a, clearly a sentimental pick for
Sakurai.
Sakurai.
Yeah.
So, but they're gonna want to end this with a bang, just like they started with a bang with Joker. So, oh, and to all you people who were on my Twitter feed yesterday, I hope some of you got the Persona 5 reference that I did.
I liked it. That was very funny.
Yeah, I couldn't help but think of the Smash Brothers reveal. This is Joker.
Yes.
Mission is go. So it's just like I was trying to start a revolution. So I might as well do it, you know, try and steal your hearts. Oh, so. And of course, let us know. Oh, shut up, Will. And of course, let us know what you thought of all the other news of the weeks, from the Smash Brothers rumors to the Thanksgiving Day sales of Switch. Did you buy a Switch during Thanksgiving week? Do let us know.
I think it's
What? Do
weird that we didn't talk about what we were playing or like 80% of the news.
you... Oh, shut up! Gosh.
We did. I don't know
Stop!
about
Don't,
you.
Will. Stop. What do you think about Book 4? Are you looking forward to it? Do you want to go see Mewtwo in the Shibuya store in Japan? And of course, what did you think of Pokemon? What are your thoughts so far on Pokemon Sword and Shield based on where you are in the runtime, assuming you're, you know, past the first gym? So, for Tellius Tyler and Warrior Will, I am Triforce Tyler. Ladies and gentlemen, we are out of time. We are not out of lives. We've made it to the end of the level, so raise the flag.